Okay, Erev Shabbat Shalom to everybody, and thank you for joining us. We know everybody's very busy with Shabbat and Pesach and Hanukkah preparations. So anyway,
Mikitsur.
Yeah, recovering. Everybody's still, you know, Baruch Hashem, detoxing. Okay, Tov. So this week, we have a very, very special Shabbat. Unfortunately, it doesn't get as much fame as Parashat Zachor, but it is a big one because, according to many poskim, with, you know, that's the bulk of today's year is going to focus on those poskim, a very nice number of poskim rishonim hold that Parashat Parah is just as the Oraita as Parashat Zachor. And guess what? Right, I'll tell you. Tosfot Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid in Brachot, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Tosfot HaRosh, Rashba, Tosfot Chants, Ritba, Trumat HaDeshen in Siman Kufchet. And guess what? Shulchan Aruch, in two places in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Kuf Memvav, in Ilchot Kiryat HaTorah, and in Siman Tafresh Pehe, Ilchot Arba Parashiyot, Shulchan Aruch paskins explicitly that Parashat Zachor and Parah says it straight up that they are both Midorah. Yeah, he says Meforash. Shulchan Aruch says Meforash. Meforash. So much so that he says, if you have people, this is also from the Turmat Adishan that he quotes in Halacha, you know, there's certain people throughout the year that they live in places that, you know, they don't necessarily get a minyan every week. And I know I have people like that I know that they live in upstate New York. Now, upstate New York, they just do, I don't know. So they have, you know, throughout the summer, upstate New York, wow, you know, you can't stop a minyan b'dayin era. But during the winter, during the whatever, during off season in the Catskills, there are some Shabbatot, many Shabbatot, they don't get a minyan. Shulchan Aruch says, quoting to tradition, that such people that live in places that don't get a minyan every Shabbat must make it their business to spend Shabbatot of Zachor and Parah in a place with a minyan, because those two kriyot are midorai. So Maran is chozer al atzmo. He repeats himself twice, and he says that this parasha is the oraita. Now, by the way, Michael Yedideno, in case anybody was forgetting that this week is Parashat Parah, our good friends at Dvash Milk, you know, reminded everyone with their expiration date on the milk bottle that this week is Parashat Parah, so that nobody forgets. Nachon? Was that real or was that fake news?
Someone sent it to me. I have no idea. But okay. It's funny.
Yeah, it was right after Purim. Hashem Yisrael. So, aval, mikol makom, there are great many number of Rishonim all that and Shulchan Aruch. Now, don't get me wrong. The majority of Acharonim beat up on the Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avraham, the Gaon, the Bach, the Pri Chadash. Many, many poskim say this is a mistaken Girsa. There's no such thing. We don't find any. Now, and if you think about it, it makes sense what they're saying. Zachor, at least the Torah says to remember Ma'aseh Amalek, to remember, you know, their destruction, B'seder. What in the world in Parashat Parah could ever be the Oraita, which is what we're going to have to discuss? The Torah says to do the process of Parah Adumah. The Torah doesn't say anything about remembering Parah Adumah. It doesn't say Zachor anywhere by Parah Adumah. So why in the world should it be Midorayta? And that, as a result of this question, many Acharonim, if not most, paskin that it's a mistake. And it's only the Rabbanan. Well, he quotes these Yishonim. Tosfot HaRosh, Trumat HaDeshen. They understood. No, the Gemara has a certain sugya over there about Kriyat HaTorah Ne'emenet B'chol Lashon. What are we talking about? It's two sugyot. It's one in Berachot Afyud Gimal. It's again in Masechet Megillah. Again in Masechet Megillah. Anyway, but according to Tosfot HaRosh and other Yishonim, it says Parashat Parah. The Nachal Etan, which is one of the Perushim, he says something very interesting. Nachal Eshkol, on Sefer Eshkol. Nachal Eshkol. And it says in the Tosfot, in our Tosfot, it says Parashat Zachor and Pei Pei. Now he says, these poskim's mistake is that they interpreted the acronym of Pepe to be what? Parashat Parah. But he says, no, that's not what it meant. What Tosfos probably meant was what? Parashat Purim. What's Parashat Purim? Ah, what do you read on Purim? You read Vayavo Amalek. Many poskim understand that if you missed Parashat Zachor, unfortunately 2 weeks ago, there are a lot of people in quarantine. So according to many poskim, if a person wasn't able to make it to Parashat Zachor on the Shabbat before Purim, Ech Yetzei Dechova, what does he do? Well, either Kitetze, some poskim say that you Yotze with Vayavo Amalek on Purim. So that's why it's that, huh? Yeah. So that's why, says Menachem Eshkol, that's probably where these Rishonim went wrong. He says, what? They misinterpreted Tosfos. That what? Tosfos said, Parashat Zachor ve-pei-pei. They thought it meant Parashat Parah. He says, no, it meant Parashat Purim. Therefore what? Therefore he says that it's a mistake, and therefore nobody says Parashat Parah. Comes the Chazon Ovadia and says, don't be so quick to dismiss 7 Rishonim. Right? That's, you know, when you have 7 Rishonim, and they don't say pei-pei, and Maran, and over there in those Rishonim, it doesn't say pei-pei, it says beferush, paratz, zachor ufara. It says beferush. So all of them made a mistake? Everyone made a mistake? Kulam? It's very, you know, when you pull the mistake card, you have to be very careful. Yeah? Nachon? Michael? It's very easy. Once you have to be very careful when you start playing with the mistake game, the ta'ut sofer, because, you know, sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. So there is a tremendous machlokot bishonim, and especially since Maran HaShulchan Aruch took it and codified it as halacha, yesh mitzvah achshav. Yeah, they have a good question. Their question is, where in the world do we find in the Torah that there's mitzvah to read the parasha? By zachor, katuv zachor, and the Gemara says zochreu bapeh mitoch haktav. But Parashat Parah, where do you see that? So you're right, it's a good question, but there are some good answers, and he says, let's explore. There is a sefer called Arzot HaChaim. Arzot HaChaim is a perush from the Malbim, a Gaon of Meir Leibish Malbim. Yeah, a Gaon Gadol, and he has a perush on Shulchan Aruch Or HaChaim. Yeah, and in his Eretz Yehuda, he says something very interesting. Arzot HaChaim is the sefer, and he says, where do we find that this is Midoraita? So he says, Hachitami. Mipnei shekatuv zechor al tishka et asher iktzavta et Adonai Elohecha. Yeah, so he says, the Torah says, one of the Eser Zechirot, you know, Sfaradim, at the end of the Tefillah, Ashkenazim have 6, we have 10. One of this, it's a mitzvah to remember. One of the things that it's a mitzvah to always remember is to remember that how we angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the desert when we left Egypt. Which, what time did we anger him? What's that a reference to? The Gemara says it's a reference to Chet Ha'Egel. Okay? Which, by the way, works out well this week because we're reading both Kitisa, which is Chet Ha'Egel, and Parashat Parah, the same thing. He says what? Says the Malbim, V'kevan sheParashat Ha'Egel, ki gnai leYisrael, tiknu likrot Parashat Parah sheba'a lechaper al ma'aseh Ha'Egel, tabo ha'em, v'tekaneh tzu'at bina. Hear what he says? Really, the Torah says, remember Chet Ha'Egel. Oh, it says Zechor, which means Bapeh. But we don't really want to read Parashat Ha'Egel. Why? Because it's kind of it's shameful for Am Yisrael. Therefore, what do? We read a symbolism of the Chet Ha'Egel, which is what? We know Rashi in the beginning, Parashat Chukat, quotes the Midrash that says what? What's the point of Parah Adumah? Parah Adumah serves as Kapara, a form of Kapara for the Chet Ha'Egel. Why? Rashi brings a Mashal. Let's say you have a servant in the palace, in the king's palace. And I don't know what happened, whatever it was, bring your kid to work there. Yes, so she brought her kid to work, and her kid made a mess in the palace. Who do they call to clean up the mess of the kid? Call the mother. So he says over here also, what was the mess? The egel. It's a calf. That's the kid. Who comes to clean it up? The mom. Who's that? The para. Para adumam. Says the Arzot HaChaim. Says the Malbim, says, therefore, since Parashat Ha'Egel is Ginai, is a Ginai to Israel, so we read a parasha that is symbolic for being Mechaper on Chet Ha'Egel, hence Parashat Parah Adumah, hence what? It's Midoraita. That's the Malbim's explanation of how it could possibly be Midoraita. Good shot? You like it? Sounds good? Michael, you like it? Doesn't sound like a shtickle stretch. Well, remember, all of these poskim were explaining how it could be the oraita. They're going out on a limb because we don't want to say seven rishonim are mistaken. So you got to find something. This is his pshat. Maran Zichron Bracha very much disagrees with his pshat for a few reasons. Number one, the Gemara says, we know, the Gemara says in Masechet Megillah Daf Kaf Hey, over here in such a situation, nichale delehevel ukapara. On the contrary, especially Chet Ha'Egel, we should specifically read Chet Ha'Egel, which means although we read it as part of Parashat HaShavua, if this was the reason, we should read it even independent of Parashat Kitisa, read the entire Chet Ha'Egel. Why? Because even though it's shameful to Israel, if the mitzvah is to remember it, reading it and shaming ourselves does what? That brings an element of kapara. Why would you want to beat around the bush and read about the symbolic kapara of the para itself? Read the parasha of Chet Ha'Egel, get embarrassed, and guess what? Embarrassment brings kapara. One. Two, he says, another thing, Maran Zichron Bracha points out that we paskin, we know, that we paskin not like Rabbi Shimon, we hold like the Rabbanan, dila darshenan ta'ama dikra, which means that we do not expound the reasons for the psukim. What's the reason for para aduma? That's a nice pshat, remez, whatever, for the Chet Ha'Egel. You know what the reason for para aduma is?
Because Hashem said so, it's a chok.
Period. Especially, says Maran Zichron Bracha, when you're speaking about para aduma, about which the Torah says in Parashat B'Shalach, Rashi HaKadosh says, when the Torah says, Sham Sam Lo, Chok,
Chok U'Mishpat,
Pat V'Sham Yisau, Chok, says Rashi HaKadosh, Chok is para aduma, it's a chok.
It says, Zot Chukat HaTorah. This is...
Not only that, we read in Kohelet this week, even Shlomo HaMelech Chacham Mikol Adam, Amarti Echkama, V'hi Rechoka Mimendi, Shlomo HaMelech racked his brains to try to understand the depth of the reasoning of para aduma, and even Shlomo HaMelech drew a blank. Why? Because this mitzvah is the epitome of chok. Now, what about it? The Mefarshim explained not, we understand a little bit about the mitzvah. Shlomo HaMelech was trying to understand how the same entity could be mitaheret atme'im u'metameh atehorim. That was the anomaly that Shlomo HaMelech was trying to figure out. But otherwise, you know, this is a chok. He's telling you all these reasons, is it? So therefore, that's one reason or two reasons for why Maran Zichron Bracha and Chazon Ovadia disagrees with this Arzot HaChaim. And he says another thing. The Ramban himself in the Sefer HaMitzvot, you know, the Ramban has amendments to the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvot. You know that, right? Anyway, so in the mitzvah of Zechor Al Tishkach Et Asher Iktzavta Et Hashem Elokecha, the Ramban says from the language of the Pasuk, it's not clear if the Torah is speaking about specifically the generation of the Midbar that actually participated in Chet Ha'Egel, or is it all later generations as well? By Amalek, it's clear that who does that refer to? All of Am Yisrael, lo tishkach, ever, ever, ever. But it's possible that to the people who did it. We didn't do it. All right. I mean, our neshamot were whatever, it's our ancestors, but we personally didn't do it. Says the Ramban, if you personally physically didn't participate in the Chet Ha'Egel, it's very possible that you have no mitzvah to remember. He's misupak. He doesn't say for sure. But how can you say that because of this, this is not a mitzvah? Why? Parashat Parah is deorai. Therefore, Maran Zichron Bracha is doche this thing. Enter Aruch HaShulchan to the rescue. Aruch HaShulchan, the Me'aposkim Shelanu, right? If you remember, yeah. Who's Aruch HaShulchan? Yeah, he's from a nice town called Navarduk. He was the Av Bedin of Navarduk, right? It's next to where Michael is from. Not from. Anyway, so he says like this. Far? Why? It's in Lita.
Far.
I mean, it's closer than Mashad. Anyway, so he says like this, yeah? Bekitzer. Yeah, his name was Agon. Ayat Posek Adur. Gaon Gadur. Agon Revichil Michal Halevi Epstein. That was his name. Yeah? It sounds like that's a name that can't get any more Ashkenaz if you try. Achon? Rabbi Chiel Michal Halevi Epstein. So his grandson writes in his memoirs, his grandson. It's very interesting that the Aruch HaShulchan married the Netziv's daughter in the second Zivug, and he had, the second son was Rav Meir, his grandson was Rav Meir Berlin. Anyway, I'm sorry, the Netziv married the Aruch HaShulchan's daughter. The other way. The Netziv married the Aruch HaShulchan's daughter, and therefore his son was Rav Meir Berlin, who later changed his name to Rav Meir Bar Ilan. Yeah? Anyway, the Kitzer, in his memoirs, he said, my grandfather, the Aruch HaShulchan, told me that Epsteins, who are Levim, they descend from Ben Benistis, from Gerush Esfaran. So that's why I say, Uma Puskim Shelanu. Anyway, Ze Shelanu. Even though he's Nevardik. Anyway, the Aruch HaShulchan says like this. He says a wonderful thing. He says a nice pshat. He says, he brings the Kushiyah of the Magen Avraham and the other poskim, who say, how in the world can Parashat Parah Mideoraita? And he says like this. Nafkalan mima shekatu ba'ita lachim lechukat olam besof ha'parasha v'yu miyutar shekvar ne'emar lema'ala ba'ita lebnei Yisrael lechukat olam. The Torah says twice in the context of Parah Adumah that it should be for an everlasting tenet. Parah Adumah. It says it twice. Why do you need to say it twice? It already said it first time. Why does the Torah say that it should be for an everlasting chuk? Ela dekamash malan le'inyan kriyat parasha af bizman deleka efer ha'parah. He says, what is the Torah trying to teach me? By the fact that it says twice, V'ayta lachem lechok olam, it's saying that even when the actual parah, the order, the procedure of parah aduma is no longer applicable because it's after Churban Beit HaMikdash, nevertheless, what stays applicable, says the Torah?
The remembrance.
The remembrance by reading. Yafe. Shama'atem. That's one. Now, the Meshech Chochma in Parashat Chukat, Meshech Chochma was whom? Ayagamkin Gaon Gadol. The Meshech Chochma was the Or Samea, a Gaon of Meir Simcha Hakoyin Midvinsk. Yeah, that's Or Samea. Or Samea. So the Or Samea is on the Rambam. Meshech Chochma is on the Torah. Yeah. The only thing is Meshech Chochma he wrote at his Bar Mitzvah. Shama'ata? Meshech Chochma. His perush on the Torah, he wrote in honor of his bar mitzvah. I didn't give the daf, but I mean, I gave shirim. Anyway, Bekitzer, listen carefully. There were two rabbanim of the city of Dvinsk. Dvinsk is another city in, I don't think it's Litva, I think it's Latvia. I don't know, is that a different country? I'm not even sure, but whatever.
Litva is Latvia. Same.
It is? Okay, whatever. So it's another place in Latvia. It had two rabbanim. It had a Litvish rav and a Hasidish Rav. The Litvish Rav of Dvinsk was the Or Sameach, was Rav Meir Simcha HaKoyim. And who was the Hasidish Rav of Dvinsk?
The Vinci Rebbe.
No, he wasn't a Rebbe, he was a Rav. Hasidish Rav. Hagaon Mirogachov. The Rogachover. Hagaon of Yosef Rosen. That he was a Hasid Shema. Which Hasidus was he? He was Hasid Chabad. Anyway, that's a very unknown fact. Yeah? Both of them were Geonim Lehafli. They're both, and the Rogachover was Gaon Mafchid. He was a sharp, like a frightening Gaon. Frightening, not like he was scary, but his wit. Yeah. There's once a story. There's a famous story. I heard this from my Rebbe, but it's famous Rebbe. One time, Rav Aaron Cutler, Alav Shalom, the Rishiv of Lakewood, Gamkin Gaon Atzum, he was the Rishiv of Slutsk at the time.
And,
yeah, he was Rishiv, Rav Aaron Cutler, before he came to Lakewood, he was the Rishiv and his father-in-law was Rishiv. Rav Aaron Cutler's father-in-law was Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer. He was the Rav and Rishiv in Slutsk, and he brought over Rav Aaron to be Rishiv over there. So he said, I want to go talk to the Rogachover. But the Rogachover was known to be very fiery. You know, if you said Shtiyot to him, it's over. He would chop you down. But you know, obviously, Rav Aaron could hold his own. So Rav Aaron went. He went to talk to the Rogachover and learning. So they went back and forth, and he asked him questions. Answered back forth. At the end of the conversation, the Rogachover asks. He says, "Young man, what do you do?" He asked Rav Aaron. So he said, "I'm a balabas," meaning what? I'm a simple guy. So what? The Rogachover answered him back. Says, not bad for a balabas. If Reb Aaron would have told him that he's a Rishiva, he would have killed him. It's like a very not bad for a Balabas. That was the Harifut of the Rogachov. Anyway, Shamata Michael, not bad for a Balabas. So, Bekitzer. Anyway, so the Meshech Chochma says a very similar pshat to that of the Aruch HaShulchan, that the Kriya of the Parasha is Lezecher HaParah. So, Rabotai, Maran Zechonon Levracha brings a very interesting nafkamina la'alacha between all the reasons. So, we basically have two underlying reasons why Parashat Parah should be Doraita. Either like the Malbim, who says that it's Zecher to what? Egel HaZahav, for Kapara, or you have the Aruch HaShulchan and the Meshech Chochma that says that the Kriya is Zecher to the Parah that we can't do itself because of Vaitalaim Nechukat Olam. Since we can't do the Parah, at least we read about the Parah. Rabotai, what would be the nafkamina between these two reasons? Something very, very interesting. Should we obligate women in hearing Parashat Parah? You tell me. You ever wonder, Rabotai, whether it's the Doraita or the Rabbanan? Why did the Chachamim institute Parashat Parah to begin with? Why? Oh, when do we read Parashat Parah? Parashat Parah is always read the Shabbat before the Shabbat of Chodesh Adar. That's the way it always works. Correct. Two Shabbat. Second to last Shabbat before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Parah. Last Shabbat before Rosh Chodesh Nisan or Shabbat of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Parashat HaChodesh. The Chachamim instituted to read Parashat Parah because in order to become Tehorim for Korban Pesach, which is brought mid-Nisan, we have to start dealing with the Parah and the ashes and starting the process. Nowadays that we don't have the actual Parah, so we read the Parashat. So I ask you, if the reason for why Parashat Parah should be Doraita is Zecher Le'egel, should women be obligated? Yes, no, and why or why not? Why? Oh, women, Rashi HaKadosh says in this week's Parasha, women did not take part in that. Not only did women not take part in the Egel, yeah, Michael, what can you tell me?
They didn't take part, but they were part, they still needed to be purified for Korban Pesach.
One second. Talk to me about the Egel. Not only did women not participate in the Egel, they actually had to fight off their husbands when their husbands
gave their jewelry.
Yeah. The women fought them off until the men mamash ripped it off. That's why the Midrash says, by the way, because of the women not participating in Chet HaEgel, they got their own special Yom Tov. Mazeh? Rashi Chodashim were given to women because of that. So if the reason is because of Chet HaEgel, women didn't take part, so they should be patur. However, if the reason is because of the reading of Parasha is in lieu of the Tahara of the Parah, did women need the Tahara of Parah Duma? Did women need to participate in Korban Pesach? Vadai, and they needed to be Torot. So for that reason, Maran Zechonon Levracha says, if that's the reason, women should preferably make an effort, just like they made an effort to come to Beit HaKnesset for Parashat Zachor, they should likewise try and make an effort to come to Beit HaKnesset for Parashat Parah. Now again,
we don't do extra readings and all of that, Rabbi.
Oh, yafe. So he stops short by Parashat Zachor. He brings down this thing of extra readings and stuff. But by Parashat Parah, he doesn't bring down this thing of extra readings in the afternoon and whatever. So people asked me, should we have extra readings? And I told them I don't think so. And I'll tell you one. Why did Maran Zechon Vachan Chazon Obadiah leave it out? I have a theory, and I think my theory is correct, which is, leave out this thing of making afternoon readings for ladies for Parashat Parah. And you see, it's not a thing. Nachon, Michael?
It's not a thing.
It's not. The Minhag doesn't seem to do it. Why? Because by Parashat Zachor, this is Machloket. Because of the Machloket, whether or not women are Chayav, we do extra readings. By Parashat Parah, there is a Safik Sfika to exempt women. What is the Safik Sfika? Number one, perhaps it's only the Rabbanan to begin with, and it's not the Oraita at all exempting women, like all those other places, right? Like the Megan Abraham and the Gan Mivilna and the Pri Chadash and all the other poskim would disagree. So perhaps they're completely exempt. And even if you want to say it's the oraita, like Maran, perhaps the reason why it's the oraita is like the Malbim, who says that it has to do with Egel HaZahav, and even if it would be the oraita according to this reason, they'd still be patur. Hence, there's a suffix sfika to exempt women, and therefore, if women can easily make it to Parashat Parah reading this coming Shabbat, matovu menaim. And if they can't, not when there's a, we don't say safek d'orayta l'chumra when there's a safek sfeka. You only say safek d'orayta l'chumra when there's one safek. When there's two sfekot or more, which I just presented you, yeah, especially some like this, that a vast majority of the acharonim say that this is all of one big mistake anyway. You know that. So that's my theory as to why Am Yisrael doesn't make such a huge deal about making it. You want to make an extra reading for women, and there's women who want to come, whatever, okay, say that, make an extra reading. You know what I'm saying?
Can I ask a tangent question?
A who question?
A little bit of a tangent.
Oh, okay.
So usually when we have Parashat Zachor, if there's a bar mitzvah boy, we don't let them read, right?
Yeah.
But for Parah, we would? We would permit it?
Lidat Maran, it's a good question. He's saying, would we let a bar mitzvah boy read Parashat Parah? By Zachor, we tend not to, okay? But the avad, if the bar mitzvah boy read, it's a big machlok that poskim ledat hachazon abadia. If the bar mitzvah boy read parashat zachor, even yotzim yedechova, because we say the chazakah derabah, the chazakah that he has shtei se'arot works even for the oraita. But lecha techila, we tell him, listen, read parashat haShavua, then move. Yeah, we'll give the regular bounce techabayta. Or you know, you have to tell him right. By the Rav's drasha after the kriya, he did a wonderful job. Wow, beautiful! Never heard a kriya like that. It was magnificent, even if it wasn't. Nachon, yeah, you have to, yeah, nachon, right, Matt? You gotta make the, even if it wasn't, but you tell him right. You have to make him feel good. But by zachor v'para, you tell the kid, alo, step away from the sefer Torah with your hands up. Right? So, anyway.
You're saying Parah also, no? You're saying Parah
para also, no? Since it's the Oraita Leda'at Maran, Adif Shelo Yikra. Be'in Kara.
Because I remember my Bar Mitzvah Parsha is Parah.
Oh.
A Bar Mitzvah boy that had Zachor, he didn't read.
Okay.
I read Parah. They told me.
Hello. He can't. Discriminatory.
No. They the Rav, I remember this, I mean, many years ago already at this point. So we're still in Germany. Said no, he shouldn't read, but I could read.
And
I
was the Rav Ashkenazi.
Yeah.
So that's why, because he probably holds like the Poskim Ashkenazim. That anyways, it's not the Oraita. But if the Rav was Sfaradi, you tell him, you tell also to take a walk. Anyway, Bekitzur, I say take a walk in German.
Gespazien.
Yeah. Anyway, Bekitzur, for that step, I want to end off with a nice vart. You know, there's a famous thing everybody knows. I go to Chaim Kanievsky, Gdol HaDor. He doesn't like new modern names. He doesn't like, you know, all these, Rina and Shira and Tehila and Odaya and all these.
Chen.
No, he's not a fan of those names. He likes Tanakh and Gemara names and Yiddish names. That's the names that he loves. You know, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, you know, Tanakh and Gemara, Bruria, Vizim, whatever you find in the Gemara, or Yiddish names. But more than that, he doesn't like. Poskim Sfaradim, Maran Tzvon Avraham is okay with those names. Rav Mazuz Shalita is okay with those names. Rav Yaakov Yilin likes those names. Chaim Tzion, Alav Shalom is okay with those names. Different things. So one time somebody came to Rav Chaim for a bracha. It's famous, right? Also, it's a famous story. So he said, "What's the for a girl?" He said, "What's the girl's name?" He said, "Her name is Shira, but whatever." He says, "Shira, Mazeh Hashem Hazeh." He says, "What's that name?" So he said, "Oh, Shira." He's like, "Why did you name her that?" So he says, "She was born on Shabbat Shira." So he told her, "V'ma ita osei ma'itan noledet beparashat para." Yeah, what would you do if she was born? The kids are. Well, if it was a boy who was born in Parashat Zachor, so you call him Zachariah. Anyway, aval mikol makom.
As long as you don't call him Amalek.
Yeah. Anyway, aval, you know, that's a cute quip. So we're gonna. That's the shiur for today. We're gonna pause for a minute and go on to Vartorach, so just stay tuned. Mike, I'm doing end, not end, right?
Rabbi, quick question.
Yes, Matt.
Last year, last